This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck, if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, one and all. This is Peter Scoop Stanton with Walter Yerkew and Mike Rickbrandt on 7-5 Radio. Check us out at 75radio.org. The number 75radio.org. And for all those watching on TikTok, you can listen to the simulcast at libertynewsradio.com. How are we doing tonight, Walter?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for showing up.
Yeah, well, I was enjoying the 9th annual sausage party here in Northern Virginia. It went exactly as expected. Mike, how are we doing tonight, sir?
Doing great, brother. Doing great. It's definitely good to have you back. And I hope you enjoyed your sausage party.
Thank you, sir. Anyways, we want to say hello to all of our special listeners, starting with Little Billy Keebler and the men and alleged woman of the Yonadosis, New York Fire Department, known as the Cellar Savers. Also, we want to say hello to New York's finest, New York's bravest, New York's boldest, New York's strongest, and all those living on Long Island, especially in the 2nd Congressional District. First order of business, as always, is to remember the names of the members of the law enforcement community who were murdered in the line of duty. Fortunately, tonight we have no names to read off. Our first story or commentary I'm going to give to Walter. For the past couple weeks, we've been seeing press conferences with the disaster here in Washington, D.C., the recent disaster in Philadelphia, the L.A. fires, the terrorist attack in New Orleans, and they all have one thing in common. Walter, take it away.
Damn news conferences. Plain and simple. News conferences. These people come, number one, they come unprepared. They feel that we need to hear something. We would like to hear something that they know, not something that we've already seen, not something that some dusted off former expert has put forth. We're not interested in none of that. Moreover, we're not interested in all these people that are standing behind the mayor or the county supervisor. You've always got anywhere from 8 to 15 people standing behind the podium, and each and every one thanks the other for their service, for their bravery, for their insight. And before you know it, the press conference is 20 minutes old, and you don't know anything else. Press conferences in, if I recall correctly, from the January 1st catastrophe in New Orleans, they had a person that gives sign language for the deaf. Okay. Now, that always reminds me, just to make not to make light of the situation, that always reminds me of Saturday Night Live when Chevy Chase was doing Weekend Update and they had Garrett Morris up in the corner, you know, for the hearing impaired. And all he did was repeat everything Chevy Chase said in a screaming manner. Anyway, besides that, they each had their own person doing their own sign language. So, number one, I don't know who's paying these people, if they're getting paid, or the interns, number one. It's a waste of money, waste of time. They start off by saying their thoughts and prayers and hearts. They go out to the families of the victims and the survivors. And, you know, let me tell you something. There's only one person that should be saying that wraps it up for the entire country. It should be Mr. Trump. And he does that when there are catastrophes such as we've had in the month of January. January was a disaster in our country, from one realm to the other. However, each and every one the same. And I've said this before on the show. The mayor has to have an entourage. Why? Are all these people getting paid? They're on the clock. If they're the leaders of their departments, the fire department, the police department, sanitation department, whatever department it may be, why are they standing behind there? Why aren't they manning the phones? Why aren't they supervising out there? Why aren't there boots on the ground out in the street where the investigations are taking place? Because each and every one of these incidents that we've had in the month of January is not just a one day shot. It is days and days of having to have your boots on the ground and your ear to the ground, listening and gaining information and making reports. The press has a lot to do with pushing to get information because they all want to be the first to report it. They all want to be standing by to report it. And when they report it, I don't know what they were listening to, but most of the time it wasn't what I heard. I don't understand why we have to have press conference, press conference, press conference. And I talk about the old days. In old days, we didn't have all this coverage. You know, we had, what, 7 or 8 channels in New York? You know, 2, 4, 5, 7, 9, and 11, and maybe 13. So we didn't have a lot of channels. So when you tune in, it wasn't – they told us what they knew, not what they think we should know. Or not what they think happened. They told us what was the deal. Walter Cronkite. I grew up with Walter Cronkite. I grew up with Jim Jensen on Channel 2. Roger Grimsby on Channel 7. You know, it was informative. You knew it. It was 10 minutes long, 5 minutes long, 4 minutes long. The only time I remember when the news was a specific press conference was when they caught Son of Sam, when they caught Berkowitz in 77. I remember CBS News being for a whole hour, and they didn't report anything else, not even the sports. So the issue I have with this is why do we have to, when we're trying to find something out, today, for instance, the director of the NTSB was on and gave a press conference, and I watched it. Okay, the segment was 10 minutes long. It took her almost eight minutes to start taking questions. She didn't offer much of the way of information except to looking for the flight recorder, but she thanked and she praised and she mentioned and she tasked and she, but it took her almost 8 minutes to get through that and then take questions. However, she didn't have anybody behind her but the person that was in charge. That was it. So, you know, I just don't get – we don't care. That's why you're an elected official or an appointed official, to put people in charge. And you're the one that they're supposed to go to and give the information to, not call them up and then get the information from them firsthand like we're getting firsthand. Let's talk to one person and one person only. Rudy Giuliani, when the Twin Towers went down, it was him, Bernie Kerik, the chief of police, and the fire department chief. That was it. That's all that was there. And the mayor. Well, he was the mayor. You don't need all these people spewing out, and they each, when they come up to the podium, they each thank each other over and over and over again. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of money. And you're not giving any information. You're not giving any information. You get more information from people on Facebook. You get more information. It might not be the best information, but it's better. Because they don't say anything. They don't say anything. And most of them are DEI. And they don't know what the hell they're doing. That's my Andy Rooney for the moment.
Well, You just hit that over the fence. I have nothing to add to that. Mike, what say you about the press conferences featuring like a whole cast of characters like a Broadway play?
Walt knocked out of the park. He's absolutely right. It's ridiculous, stupid, counterproductive, and really just a waste of time. But it's the corporate nonsense brought to government. You know, it's ridiculous. He's absolutely right. Walt nailed it.
Right. Anyways, we come back. We'll talk about $50 million for condoms. Does Liz Warren work for the pharmaceutical industry? And Caroline kicks some ass. Stay tuned, everybody. This is 75 Read on Liberty News Radio.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing, and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
You're back, and Scoop is just getting done staring at Tanilla's Instagram account. Here's more 75 Radio.
And we are back. This is Peter Scoop Staten, joined with Walter Yerkew and Mike Rakebrand. We are produced by super producer Liz. And during the commercials, I was looking at the Instagram account of Danella Rodriguez. Follow her at danellarodriguez.model on Instagram. Well, you're absolutely right. Nobody likes a big intro, a big to-do. But anyways, moving right along. Here's something up my alley. The United States almost gave $50 million to the state of Gaza for condoms. The Biden administration earmarked $50 million to send to the people of Gaza for condoms. Now, I did some research. The population of Gaza is 2.1 million people. Say all 2,100,000 people in Gaza are sexually active, men, women, and children. There's a medical company called Homestead that sells a case of condoms that comes in the 1,000-pack for $222.60. Now, 1,000 condoms for 2,100,000 people is 2,100 cases, which comes to a grand total of $467,460. Now, it does not cost $49.5 million for shipping. Either that $50 million was being used for something else, or that $50 million was being used for something else. Mike, what say you about $50 million for condoms for 2 million people?
Well, two things. One, they could have saved themselves a lot of money just by raiding your house and taking all the condoms that you'll never use. That would have more than covered it.
But secondly, you know what they use these things for is they fill the condom up, they stretch it out, they fill it up with helium so it floats, attach a small explosive device to it, and they float it across the border, and they drop bombs on Israel with it. That's all they use this for. They're not trying to not have babies. They're very dedicated to having more and more babies so they can train them to be terrorists. You know, so what are we funding? Are we funding attacks on Israel? Are we funding attacks on innocent people? I mean, that's basically what it's going to. And $50 million for it? I mean, come on. It's more the same grift that you see throughout government that's being exposed more and more every day, you know, right now. It's more the same of that. Because I would love to know which contractor was getting that contract for the condoms. And they're probably paying something like $2,000 per condom or something ridiculous like that. And you know at some point that money was making its way back to the very people that voted to put that money in there to do that. So, again, more of the same grift and corruption funding, you know, an actual terrorist force to kill innocent people. You know, lovely.
So, Mike, you first of all, how do you know how many condoms are may or may not be in my house, number one? Secondly, you're telling me that there's kickbacks in federal contracts?
Well, for one, I think me, Walt, and pretty much anybody that's ever, you know, met you, spoken to you, seen you, even in a picture, pretty much knows that you're sitting on a, you know, the Mount, the gold reserve of condoms, you know, tremendous amounts. You could probably build like buildings out of these things, the cases that you have. And yes, I know it's shocking, right? Federal corruption. You know, who would have thought that there'd be kickbacks in these things? It's, you got Elon Musk with Doge now, you know, is ready, set to save $4 billion a day in spending. He's cut off $4 billion in government spending a day already. You know, you wonder how all these people get rich in office? Oh, there's your answer. You know, USAID and all the other corrupt organizations they built to do it.
Jeez. Well, what say you about, you know, ridiculous amount of money for condoms for people who probably don't use condoms?
I'm sure they make condoms over there. There's no reason for us to be freaking giving them $50 million. Why are we paying for condoms that are made overseas? Number one. Number two, like Mike said, you know, I want to know who the contractor is. I want to know whose name is at the bottom that approved this and where it goes. You know, last week when Mr. Trump was in California, there was a gentleman there whose house was saved and he helped. They couldn't save his neighbors' houses and stuff. And he asked Mr. Trump when the money is allocated to repair California, we need a money watcher. Okay. Money watcher is what we had. Me and Mike discussed this last week, is what we had to make sure that the surrounding buildings around the Trade Center were appropriately allocated to. Same thing here. Who is allocating, who is watching where this money goes? You know, for 4 years, Biden has just been shipping money overseas, you know, blindly. Yeah, we need $500 million, and there it goes. And I always said, there's got to be somebody watching where the money goes. And somebody's name is on that. He or she or the group needs to go, be done with it, okay? It's $50 million. You know what that could do for our country? $50 million. Think about it. $50 million. It's part of becoming a world power again. You need finance to be a world power again. You can't be broke like we've been. You know, we're borrowing money from China to give to Ukraine. You know, our debt ceiling, our debt is ridiculously out of control. And Mr. Trump is doing his best to all that nonsense. But I have a question for Scoop on this.
Okay.
Those red condoms, how do they feel going in?
I would not know, sir.
Scoop turns them inside out, rib for his pleasure.
Yeah, the ribs go nice on the outside, Scoop.
Why is it every week it's Mike fun of Scoop? That's why I say you guys are very jealous. But, Mike, you brought up something. You're saying that Elon Musk is saving $4 billion. Is it proposed, or is he actually saving $4 billion a day?
No, he's actually saving $4 billion a day. They have they're being given authority over a lot of these bureaucratic agencies. So they're just basically sending in their people from DOGE to go into these organizations, take over. And they're either firing, forcing to resign, shutting down programs, cutting off funding. And they're doing it in programs and things that were funded, like, say, in 2003, Congress voted and funded it for 1 year, but the program has been funded every year since because nobody bothered to shut it off. So they're basically turning the tap off on all these, like, you know, unapproved government spending. So that alone is adding up to about $4 billion, you know, a day. And they're just getting started. So, I mean, you can imagine if that's just the beginning, if we're at the beginning and we're just scratching the surface and it's $4 billion a day, you can imagine what it's going to look like in a year or two when they really, really dig down deep and dig out all the corrupt, you know, ridiculous funding that goes on. You know,
right.
it's gonna make Rand Paul hard to find all his names for his Festivus report there, right? Every year that he does, you know, it's gonna make it harder and harder for him to find stuff. So, but they're doing it. Yeah, about $4 billion a day right now. They're on track to save about $1 trillion just this year.
Jesus Christ! Hopefully they put it towards the debt. But anyways, I was looking Fox News. There's $1 billion saved by eliminating 104 DEI contracts. How the hell you spend $1 billion on DEI? You know, 100 million, you know, 104 divided by like $100 million to support or mandate or do whatever DEI is supposed to do, which is just a, you know, simple way to say anti-white, anti-male hiring or promotion of people. But good on Elon, good on President Trump. And this is just common sense. And, you know, unfortunately, the way the Congress works is that the budget works. The president proposes a budget, submits a budget. It's up to Congress to vote on it. So hopefully Congress actually approves a balanced budget instead of debt spending, because that's, you know, we're in debt, $34 trillion and counting. Good grief. And well, you're absolutely right. We're borrowing money from China to give to Ukraine. If the money we don't buy, we get the printer presses going 24/7, and it's backed up by trust. You know, I trust this dollar can buy this many units or something, or pay for this many man hours for labor, but good grief. But you guys think we should have went back, or correction, stayed with the gold standard, or is it a good thing we got off the gold standard? Well, I'll ask you first.
Oh, hell, that's a loaded question. I think that's beyond my pay grade to give a really good answer. I don't even think I have a strong opinion on that right now.
But you do have a strong opinion about my condom collection, right?
Well, you don't really have one. It's your boyfriend that has the condom collection. I mean, your friends.
Mike, should we have gone off the gold standard, or is it a good thing we went off the gold standard?
No, we should have stayed on the gold standard. We should go back to it. So coming off the gold standard, all it did was facilitate like just this insane spending. So basically the government being able to spend money that they don't have, which is, you know, it just becomes taxation. It's either you're paying taxes for that spending, or the unpaid portion of it becomes inflationary, and now you're paying it through inflation. So either way, you're being taxed to death on it. Whereas when you're on a gold standard, they have to stay within certain limits. It sets like hard limits for their spending. It sets hard limits for what they can actually do. And it helps kind of keep things balanced and keep the economy balanced. It's a much more stable system. You know, I know the talking head economists that like to promote all this crap that work for the government because they benefit from it think that it's a great idea, but really it's just about, you know, facilitating spending they shouldn't be doing.
Right. Terrible. But anyways, thank you, President Nixon. Anyways, we come back. Elizabeth Warren, does she work for Big Pharma? Also, Caroline Leavitt is absolutely kicking ass for President Trump. And also, Pete Hegseth is also kicking ass. But stay tuned, everybody. This is 75 Radio on Libby News Radio Network.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. Fair warning to a trio of nations that trade heavily with the United States. President Trump today signing an order that establishes new tariffs against Canada, Mexico, and China. President says the tariffs are a way for the U.S. to throw around its financial heft to reshape the world. The president's approval rating on the rise.
Rasmussen reports daily presidential tracking poll for Friday shows that 52% of likely U.S. voters approve of President Trump's job performance. 45% disapprove. The latest figures include 39% who strongly approve of the job President Trump is doing and 37% who strongly disapprove. This gives him a presidential approval rating of +2. On January 23rd, he held a total approval rating of 56% and disapproval rating of 40% with an approval index of +6. 40% strongly approved of his performance and 34% strongly disapproved. Bernie Bennett reporting.
U.S. military conducting coordinated airstrikes against ISIS operatives in Somalia today. Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth says the strikes were directed by President Trump and coordinated with Somalia's government. Also at townhall.com, Missouri GOP Congressman Mark Alford tells the Salem Radio Network that one federal program assigned to raise money to fight AIDS had some funds that were grossly mismanaged.
We just found out in the last couple of weeks that 21 abortions have been performed in recent years using this money. Is that something the American taxpayers want? No, it's a violation of the Hatch Act. It is a violation of everything that we stand for as Americans.
Democrats have elected Ken Martin, the party leader in Minnesota, to lead the National Party. Martin succeeds Jamie Harrison of South Carolina atop the Democratic National Committee. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Right now with an important...
You hear the term living better. What do you think about? More money, a bigger house, maybe a yacht? What about how you feel physically? How do you wake up each day? How do you sleep during the night? What activities you can and cannot do? When you feel good, life is good. So if pain is affecting your life, see how Relief Factor can help. Relief Factor is a daily supplement that fights pain naturally, developed by doctors. It doesn't just mask pain temporarily. It helps reduce or even eliminate pain. How do I know? Absolutely am a customer. I take Relief Factor daily. No lower back pain for me anymore. In fact, the longer you take it, the more effective it is. Give their three-week quick start a try. It's only $19.95, less than a dollar a day. Just one phone call, 800-4-RELIEF, 800-4-RELIEF. Relief Factor, relief wherever you're hurting. In 3 weeks or even days, Relief Factor can give you a chance to rediscover the true meaning of living better again. Visit ReliefFactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF. That's 800-4-RELIEF for the one and only Relief Factor.
Dad, can you make him stop?
Honey, he needs to practice.
He's been at it an hour.
Well, just trying to be patient.
Dad, it sounds like a cat calling for help or something.
Worse, a basement full of cats.
Yeah.
You know, hon, it is a little hard on the ears.
Not you, too.
Well, maybe we can all play a game. Andrew, do you want to play a board game? How about we watch a video? Hide and seek? Oh, I don't know. I give up.
Maybe we could all just sneak out of the house.
Honey, he's 9 years old. We can't leave him home alone.
And
we can make him practice with a sock.
Well, I guess we'll have to get some ice cream.
Did I hear someone say ice cream?
Family, isn't it about time?
Oh, I see the practice hasn't hurt your ears.
Well, I'm a serious musician.
Funny that you never seem to get better on that thing.
Works every time.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Hey, where'd all these cats come from?
Experience the untamed spirit of the American West with Range Magazine. Each issue is a visual journey featuring award-winning photography and compelling stories that capture the heart of ranching and rural life. Stay informed on the challenges and triumphs of those who live and work on the land. Subscribe today and receive quarterly editions delivered to your doorstep and join a community that cherishes the enduring legacy of the Western frontier. Visit rangemagazine.com to subscribe.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
We'll be right back.
Wow, you're still listening? Here's more 7-5 Radio.
Hey, we are back. This is Peter Scoop standing with Walter UQ and Mike Rake Brant. Last segment, we were talking about condoms. Folks, if you don't have money for any contraceptives, you know what you do? You put on the last segment of tonight's episode of The Political Cesspool. You could hear Keith Alexander and guest Roger Devlin talk about this sex and the conservative. Trust me, you listen to that and nobody will be in the mood to do the diddy bop.
Or you can look at a picture of Rosie. Or you can look at a picture of Rosie O'Donnell.
Or that too. But I was listening to the cesspool tonight, and God Almighty, two people have no business talking about fornication. Anyways, earlier this week, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. was on Capitol Hill, being grilled by members of Congress, and the interaction between Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and Senator Elizabeth Warren was really interesting, because during the about 8 minutes, she had to question Mr. Kennedy. Towards the end of the questioning, she asked Robert Kennedy Jr. if he planned to sue drug companies after he gets done as Secretary of Health and Human Services. And I was thinking, why? What does that have to do with anything? What a man, a private citizen, does after he serves, you know, the office of whatever office he's serving under the current administration, what does that have to do with anything? Then I put two, you know, the old adage during the Watergate hearing, follow the money. So it seems to me that Senator Warren is worried that Robert F. Kennedy, after he gets done as the Health and Human Services Secretary, we'll take a letterhead with the HHS from whatever and start suing drug companies. And that might hurt campaign contributions to the good senator from Massachusetts, which is really ironic because the Kennedys are from Massachusetts. And then you have the senator from Massachusetts going after, you know, Massachusetts royalty. Well, what say you about Elizabeth Warren going after Senator Kennedy for his right to sue drug companies?
Oh, you know, I get it. You know, they want to know if, you know, he's going to sue when he becomes a civilian. Well, it's really none of her business. I mean, let him do his job. Put him through, confirm him, let him do his job. If he does a bad job, then you can always start impeaching Trump again and start getting rid of his cabinet. But it's better than the character that's in there now. That's for sure. As far as Mr. Kennedy goes, he has called out since COVID hit these vaccinations and such. And, you know, it turned out that he was correct about most everything. About the vaccine and such. And Fauci, of course, we all know, has got a clean slate, which is really a shame. But should Mr. Kennedy... Now, he's already a multi-millionaire. He doesn't need to sue, you know, he sues them not for personal gain. He sues them for national gain. And that's where I think people are getting mixed up. He wants them to stop pushing drugs that aren't good for us. That's his thing. No, he's not a scientist. No, he's not a scientist. We know that. We know that. That's why he's going to have a staff also. He's had a staff. It's not just him. He's the mouthpiece. You see, he's the mouthpiece. He's the one that has the information gathering resources, and he creates an argument, and he presents it. That's the way it's supposed to be, and they don't like it, and that's a shame. I also want to mention that his cousin, and I mentioned this on Facebook the other day. I put a post up. His cousin Caroline Schlossberg, you know, was calling him a predator and looking for the limelight. Well, you know, like I said, we haven't seen her in a few decades. She's doing the same thing. And her son was imitating Mr. Kennedy with the way he talks because of his condition, was actually making fun of him. So, you know, this has just gone way too far, and very disrespectful, let alone the committee that the nominees are in front of are disrespectful to the nominees, yelling at him and screaming at him and trying to get him to answer yes or no. And when the shoe is on the other foot, we get less. We don't get yes or no questions, yes or no answers, even though if there's a picture of them doing what they were doing. So, you know, this is a process that needs to be cut down, cut back, reevaluated, and done sooner than a month after Mr. Trump gets sworn in. This needs to be done in December. Just like Tulsi is going through the same issue, and she put that Mark Kelly, the astronaut guy, in his place the other day. So kudos to her.
Wow, Mike, you got anything to add? Because I mean, Walter once again hit it over the fence.
Well, Walt nailed it, but they all did extremely well. They did a great job at calling these people out. You know, Tulsi sat there and listed off the last 25 years of intelligence failures and corruption directly to the faces of the people that enabled that. And then all of them actually called them out on their corruption, especially with RFK and Tulsi calling them out about the big pharma connection, both to Bernie and Elizabeth Warren, amongst others that get over $1 million a year in campaign contributions. And that's not including all the money that funnels to them from big pharma and other, you know, medical mafia organizations, through consulting groups and other things that flow back to their families, as I'm personally, and you know, they're corrupt, they're bought and paid for, you know, and they showed it exactly in those hearings. They need to confirm all three, but Walt nailed it.
Right, and just it's theatrics. I mean, we started the show talking about the press conferences. It's like a Broadway play, like all the characters are out there, and it's theatrics again. You know. Mr. Kennedy, are you going to sue the drug companies? Well, you know, should I? But it's just a dog and pony show. But, you know, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, Mark Kelly, they're not going to vote for they're not going to vote in favor of these people. So they just want to get their two cents in. And one thing I really detest is that they ask a question, and, you know, it's a yes-no question. Of course, the person sitting in the hot seat is going to start you know, weaving around the question, bobbing and weaving. But then the person asking the question say, well, I yield back my time. Well, you didn't let the person answer. I mean, and here's another thing. We all know this from our previous experiences. You want to let these people talk. The more they talk, the more that they say. You know, if you're interrogating somebody about or questioning somebody about a crime that might have occurred, or you think they're guilty, let them talk, and then, you know, let them trip themselves over their tongue, whatever lie that they're trying to make up in their head, and you get them. Same thing with grilling these people on Capitol Hill for these positions, not for that they were nominated for. Just let them talk, and then, you know, let them say what's on their mind, and everybody can see. But you know, I digress. These people on Capitol Hill, they just want to hear themselves talk. Any last words before we move on to our next subject? Anybody? Going
next.
I take that as a no. Anyways, moving right along. I got a text earlier this week from Walter. It said, Caroline is kicking ass. And what are we talking about? Who are we talking about? We're talking about Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt. We knew a year ago that she's an ass kicker. She came on Libby News Radio. She is a brave soul. She stood next to me for about 15 minutes at CPAC, and she knocked it out of the park. I was looking at this lady, quite nice. If you go on the website, you see a picture of me next to her. She looks like $1 million, so I look like a predator. And I was like, wow, what a this girl's got something. Get up and go. And then her first press conference, she nailed it. right out of the park, putting everybody in their place. She didn't have a big binder. She didn't say, well, I don't have that written down, or that doesn't, you know, that doesn't concern the White House administration. She was on point. And, you know, she's going to go a long way, hopefully, with this White House press office. Walt, what say you about the lovely Caroline Leavitt?
She did a bang up job. She's had two conferences that I've seen, and she pretty much does it without those binders that her previous press secretaries carry around to answer questions. But she knows what she's doing. She's going to get much better at it too.
Okay, we'll be right back with more 7-5 Radio after these important words.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
As you all know, Roe versus Wade has resulted in some of the most permissive abortion laws anywhere in the world. For example, in the United States, it's one of only seven countries to allow elective late-term abortions, along with China, North Korea, and others. Right now, in a number of states, the laws allow a baby to be born from his or her mother's womb in the ninth month. It is wrong. It has to change. Americans are more and more pro-life. You see that all the time. In fact, only 12% of Americans support abortion on demand at any time. Under my administration, we will always defend the very first right in the Declaration of Independence, and that is the right to life.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yuku. I mean, Walter Yurkow. I mean, Walter Kiwi. Here's Walton Scoop.
And we are back. During commercials, I showed all four of my TikTok viewers the lovely Instagram account of 7-5 Radio spokesmodel, Danella Rodriguez. That's danellarodriguez.model on Instagram. Anyways, unfortunately for 7-5 Radio, our future co-host Pete Hegseth will be a little bit longer than expected. He was finally sworn in as Secretary of Defense, and he is taking that office by storm. It seems like everybody that gets into office appointed by Donald Trump, it just takes no prisoners. Anyways, one of the first things he did was to he got rid of the protected detail of General Milley, took away his clearances, his security clearances, and he got rid of Black History Month, Asian American History Month, Pride Month, every other month, no identity month. You know, it was like we're warriors. We go kill people and shoot things. So anyways, couldn't be any happier. Pete Hegseth became Secretary of Defense. And he's taken that office by storm, and he bounced Mike Milley on his ass. Mike, what say you, since you are also a former warrior, about Pete Hegseth taking over the Department of Defense?
It's the best thing that could have ever happened, man, honestly.
you know, you need it. It's the military. You know, we're not there to be nice to you. We're not there to you know, use diplomacy and all that, right? We're there for when things go to the extreme and it can't be resolved any other way, and you need force to take things back to where they're supposed to be. This whole woke push with all the transgenders and all the other craziness that went on was the worst possible thing that could have happened in the military. It was a joke. It was a laughingstock. The real true sad thing about it is we weren't combat ready. We were not ready to go out and fight wars. We're not ready to go out and do anything. We would have gotten our asses handed to us. A lot of people would have died for no good reason other than somebody wanted a virtue signal. So I'm all for it. And Pete Hegseth is, this guy's a combat veteran. You know, he led men in combat. He understands the real no shit on the ground cost of what it means to be a combat leader. You know, it's not just, you know, everybody sees the war movies and you see like the glory side of things or whatever. Oh, the glory or whatever. No, it's coming back from that deployment knowing you lost guys and then having to march back up to a grinder to go see your family. But between you and your family are all those gold star families that you got to look in the face knowing that they didn't come home. You know, I've done that, and it's not, it'll break you. You know, it'll really break you. So having someone who's actually experienced that and understands the real cost and understands what it really means to do that job in that role is the best possible thing that could have happened, because all these warmongering psychos that just want to get rich on, you know, American boys and girls' blood, they're done. And it's the best thing that ever happened. I mean, that's truly, to me, like probably one of the best choices he made. You know, Tulsi probably being the number one choice. Pete Hegseth is a very, very close number two.
Wow. Walt, what's the deal about Hegseth becoming Secretary of Defense and hitting the ground running?
No, you know, each and every one of Donald's nominees has done that. And, you know, and the latest being, you know, Pete Hegseth. I'd have to say that he's the type of guy that they didn't see coming. And the committee played on that this guy is unqualified because he was a, you know, a media person. But, you know, they don't see the forest for the trees, these people. And with Pete Hegseth, Tulsi, you know, she hit the ground running too. You know, it's just unbelievable that the people that he's picked that are doing such a good job the first minute that they've been sworn in. And I don't understand why people don't like it. Now they're doing all these checks. Well, is that constitutional? Pete Hegseth, what he said, is that constitutional? Tulsi Gabbard, what she's doing, is that constitutional? You know, they're in and out of these big cities. They already know where they want to go. Yet you still have these blue cities that are going to be defiant. And, you know, Pete Hegseth is telling them that's not going to happen. You know, it's you know, the oath, any oath you take, it's, you know, for foreign and domestic enemies of our country. And they're foreign enemies domestically in our country, and we got to get them out. And I'm all for Guantanamo Bay being opened up again. And, of course, everybody's saying, oh, no, you can't put them down there. Gitmo has a bad reputation. Well, nobody said Gitmo had a bad reputation when Clinton was in office, when he put 40,000 people in Cuba. So, you know, these people are just – they haven't learned. They haven't learned. And Pete Hegseth is not there to teach them. He's there to show them. So if you want to understand what's going on, let him do his job. Look at the bright side of things instead of making up the negative narrative.
Right, you're absolutely right. And one thing about, you know, one of the reasons why I was rooting for Hegseth so much is because of his past. And Mike, you can back me up on this. Pete Hegseth has scars that we cannot see. He's been in combat situations. He's lost men. He's lost brothers. And, you know, you bring that back with you, because if you do go to the Army's version of psych services, you know, you're seen as a weirdo. You'd be taken out of the field, taken away, you know, your weapon be taken away from you, and you'll be, you know, part of the rubber gun squad, and we, and guys don't like that. So, you know, Hexet does have some he does have some scars. We cannot see, but he's still pushed through. And with him experience having that experience, he's not going to send our sons to harm's way unless it's absolutely totally necessary. Mike, any final thoughts?
Yeah, I think Walt nailed it when he said every pick has been is perfect. It's perfect for what they're doing. He's absolutely right. Every single pick for Cabinet has been absolutely perfect for what they're doing and the job they're going to do. And it's truly what's going to restore America. It's the restoration of America to what it really truly should have been for decades now, but hasn't been.
Yep. And one thing, Mike, we talked about this earlier. It's just common sense. You know,
yes.
If you're in this country illegally, you shouldn't be here. If you spend more money than we take in, we're in debt. We shouldn't do that. We shouldn't be wasting money in DEI programs or whatever. It's just common sense. And people, it's like we discovered electricity all over again. And another brilliant pick was Tom Homan. People in Chicago, the mayor, the governor up in Illinois, were rattling the sabers. Hey, you're not taking these people, whatever. Tom Homan went to Chicago to round them up. And they rounded up, like 900 people or something like that. How many people have been deported already? Over 5,000? And then when we went to I got the James Edwards cough. When they were dropping them off in a military transport, C-17, in Colombia, the Colombian president said, hey, turn it back around. We ain't taking them. And Trump says, well, you're going to take them or you're going to face 25% tariffs. And then we're going to cancel all the visas for anybody coming in or out of Colombia. And if that doesn't work, we'll go up to 50%. And sure enough, the next day, Caroline Leavitt's like, Colombia agreed to the terms that the president put out. So this president is not playing whatsoever. It's like the retribution tour. You guys see the new portrait of the president from 2016 to 2024? Different. He is not playing around, so which is good. I mean, that says it all. But anyways, for the last couple of minutes, anybody have anything they want to say, promote, get out, or compliment me on being such a great human being?
Well, I mean, the compliment thing, we could compliment you on being the most prolific, you know, sex offender in the D.C. area, which is pretty impressive because there are how many politicians are there.
Sex offender. Who am I victimizing?
That's a good question.
It's 11 o'clock at night. I'm sitting at home talking to you guys. Yeah, I'm a sexual pervert. Well, you got anything since Mike just broke the dam?
No, I got nothing constructive.
All right. Do you have anything critical of yours truly? Or you just want to comment me on the great job I'm doing?
You're a single man. You know, you're still feeling yourself out. Pretty soon you might let somebody else feel yourself out.
I'm feeling himself out. That's how he took his last collar.
Mm-hmm.
Location, location, location.
feel myself out. Sheesh. Yeah, I'll give you guys something to feel out. Good grief. But anyways, for Walter Yurick, you and Mike Raybrand, this is Peter Scoopstand reminding you, you can make a difference. Go out and make it. Have a good week, everybody.
Edwards for 7-5 Radio. For those who work the streets and the jails, thanks for keeping us safe. So long, everybody.